the Lord's help this evening, I will direct your attention to Psalm 34 and verse 4. Psalm 34 and verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. The Word of God tells us, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. This is not intended to convey that we are witnesses just by putting pen to paper and signing a creed, but rather God's people are witnesses because the living God dwells in them and is the life of them. And it is because of this that they are able to be witnesses that God is the living God, that he is the mighty God, that he is able, the one who is able to deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. This psalm opens in a quite remarkable way. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. There may be some people who would say, but I don't believe that to be true. I do not bless the Lord at all times. Well, this is what the scripture says. And let God be true, and every man a liar. And if we're rightly instructed, we shall see that we have reason to bless the Lord at all times, every moment of the day, and even so every moment of the night. Now, because at all times the Lord is round about his people, and he brings them through their trials and difficulties. We try and come to the end of this psalm, and we read, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. What a blessing this is. Now, if we reflect upon this in our own lives, doubtless we have seen difficult situations, painful situations, hard trials at times, yet have we not proved that the Lord is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so, what the psalmist says here is absolutely true. And I do anything that God has done, anything that God has said, we can say God is has worked, and it is absolutely true. There is no one that can speak against it. God, by his power, has demonstrated that he is the mighty God, that he is able to do great things, and holy is his name. So we find, and we should look at this verse, I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, there are other passages in the Psalms which refer to the effect of and feeling of the power of God upon us. Let me just direct your attention to Psalm 95. For, O come, let us worship, and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. So there are several psalms full with praise around about this part of the book of Psalms. Now, the effect of the power of God upon the psalmist here, and we should observe that it was a time of trial, temptation, and fear in the life of David, for it says at the beginning of the psalm, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drave him away, and he departed. It was the occasion when Abimelech said, "Have I need of madmen?" But God, David was left, so to speak, to try and work out things for himself, and it came to a sad end. But it did bring him to a place where, "I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless him when he blesses, good when he's surprised, and equally so when he withholds." Now, what can we say in our lives? Are we going to say, "I shall not bless God today because affliction has come upon me, because distress has come into my life, because I've suffered some loss or other, or my peace has been taken away by the instrumentality and activity of Satan himself?" Are we going to say, "I will not bless the Lord at all times," because under those circumstances, is it not true to say that the Lord supports me under every load? It is not only when things are swimmingly for us and in our favor that we'll seek to bless the Lord. And indeed, is it not true to say, and that we are witnesses of this, that even in the day of adversity, then we still bless the Lord? We are reminded in Ecclesiastes, "In a day of prosperity, be joyful. In a day of adversity, consider." And what have we got to consider that will sustain us in the day of adversity? Well, we've got to consider this, that God is faithful, who will not suffer me to be tempted above that which is able, but will with every temptation make a way to escape, that we may be able to bear it. So in that day of adversity, well, shall we not enter into the words of the psalmist here, "I will bless the Lord at all times"? But then, the day of adversity may be marked by the host of enemies rising up to fill us with dismay. But what does the hymn say? "When hosts of enemies rise up to fill us with dismay, the Lord will make his goodness pass before us in the way." So then, cannot we come to this point? "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." One thing then that is very clear at the opening of this psalm, and as you read through the psalm itself, and many of the psalms, all the psalms of course, we find that here we have the outburst, the heart movements exposed, and it is the exposition of a heart that is quickened by his Spirit, that lives upon God. It is a person in whom Christ dwells by living faith, and who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I'll magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Now, I would direct your attention to the points here that this is a good religion. It's a good religion, and especially if you can magnify the Lord in the day of your adversity, in the day when you're cast down by reason of the hardness of the way, in the day when you feel that you're forsaken and alone, and hear the lion roar, and every door is shut but one, and that is mercy's door. But can you say, do you remember such a time when you've been in such a low place, and you've been able to say, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together, because he is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe, and is safe"? But I must go along to the words that I read to you as a text this evening. "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." This is evidence of the psalmist's personal religion. And indeed, we cannot really go further than having a personal religion. How can we be a witness, God's witnesses, if we cannot say, "I saw the Lord"? It is when we've had certain experiences so that the the singular pronoun is used, I saw the Lord, then we are true witnesses. Then we can say, I saw the Lord. And I can tell you what was the result of my seeking the Lord. Oh, how good it is then to be living witnesses, not only witnesses because we believe the truth, but also witnesses because we have felt the Lord. And if we come into contact with some of our beloved friends and they seem to be downcast by reason of the way, we're able to say to them, I saw the Lord and he heard me. And if that is so, and you know the person well, and they're seeking and they're not finding, yet may it still be that you're witnessing unto them, I saw the Lord, and I'm a sinner vile and base. I saw the Lord, and the temptations of my heart were that he would never take notice of me. But nevertheless, I saw the Lord, and he heard me. We find in one of the Psalms quite near to this present one, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. But to take a point here, I sought the Lord. And why did he seek the Lord? There are many people that are in trouble, and the last thing that they do is to seek the Lord. They will try, and of course you have probably found this in your own nature as well, you try every scheme to try and solve your problems and sustain your weaknesses by trusting in yourself, taking the grip of yourself and so on. But I sought the Lord. Why did the psalmist seek the Lord? We shall not seek the Lord until God himself puts within our heart the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall come with weeping and with supplications of do I lead them. So then, I sought the Lord, and it is good if in seeking the Lord you may feel the need to search the scriptures. And does anyone seek the Lord as I feel at the moment? Does anyone ever seek the Lord as I feel at the moment? And if you look from page to page in the scriptures, I verily believe that you will find, yes, here's the person that is in my very case at the present time. I sought the Lord. And this is because they shall come. Oh, they shall come. Are you one of those people, of the shall comers, who could not help coming? Blessed be God if we can sought the Lord, if we have sought the Lord, and we are able to demonstrate this point that we are amongst those that shall come. And with all the opposition of our carnal mind, with all the opposition of Satan himself, with all the opposition of unbelief, that they shall come. And because they shall come, I saw the Lord. That was a solid ground on which I came to seek the Lord at all. Now, you're on some sound ground now, because you can say and give a reason as to why I sought the Lord. You would not have sought the Lord if you had not been quickened by grace. You would not have sought the Lord if the Holy Spirit had not moved you to seek the Lord. And you would not have sought the Lord if there was any possibility of getting along without doing so. But you see, it is God's purpose that all his people should seek the Lord. And so the doors are shut, and every door is shut, but that the door of God's mercy. how I sought the Lord. Sometimes we may seek the Lord and feel that we are seeking things which are, shall I call it, legitimate. There are matters regard to God's day-to-day providences. And it is good, of course, to commit our way unto the Lord in regard to day-to-day providences. But there's more to be said. I saw the Lord. Many showed me that I was of such a base character, would he take notice of me? Some of the hymns that we have sung this evening, so two hymns have directed our attention to the great God who compels people, compels. Now you see, there are two ways in which we may look at compulsion. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord with compulsion. I sought the Lord because I had to. I was in deep trouble. But had God moved us and shown us his great love and mercy, that we come in this spirit, yes, certainly in a very strong spirit, compelling spirit, but I sought the Lord because I love to seek him. You see, in all things, in Christian experience and religious experiences, there are these two points. I sought the Lord because I had to. I had no option. But is it so? I sought the Lord because I love to. And have we not many encouragements in the Word of God that bring us to this point? I sought the Lord. Yes, and as we read here, and he heard me. There are several wonderful expressions that we can read in the Psalms elsewhere. One of them is found is comprised in words like this: the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. Now we should take a point here. I sought the Lord and he heard me. That doesn't mean to say that we may necessarily enter in a conversation. Sometimes he may speak with a look into our spirits. Sometimes he may so send his grace into our spirits, and then during a day, and then perhaps you may go up to the house of the Lord, and your days, yesterday's troubles might have been traced out in the preaching of the gospel, so that you're able to say the Lord has been mindful of us. Because the minister brought forth those very things that we were passing through yesterday, and we knew not what to do, but now we have that witness in our own hearts that the Lord was mindful of us. So I sought the Lord, and now I've discovered through the preaching of the gospel that the Lord was mindful of us. And then what a different spirit will come upon your spirit as you sit in the house of God and you give voice to this, as the psalmist did. He will bless us. He will bless us. If the Lord has been mindful of you yesterday, then will he not bless you today? Will you not have that encouragement? I sought the Lord, and now I've had my feelings traced out through the preaching of the gospel, and surely since this has been known, and I am now satisfied that the Lord has been mindful of me in my distresses and in those things which I could not communicate to anyone else, that he will bless. Not blessed for anything that I have done, but blessed because he will bless for his mercy's sake. So then I sought the Lord. The Word of God is full of accounts of idol worship. We in our lives are conscious of idolatry on every hand. And when we come to consider that we are idolaters ourselves, because we can so easily raise somebody up above that which they ought to be raised and put their trust and confidence in them. And God will bring all these things to nothing and bring us into distress. I sought the Lord to deliver me from my idolatry, to deliver me from looking to any other source whereby I might be saved and delivered. So then, I sought the Lord, and we should notice the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I sought the Lord. We might take note of this point as well. I sought the Lord. It was not in a crowd, but it was when he was on his own, one would judge. We have those words in the scripture which tell us in the 42nd Psalm, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Well, has it always been like that? In the days of your own regeneracy, if you sought the Lord, that would not have been accompanied with this panting and this thirsting after God. Now, there were times when... I'll read the next verse. "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" And if you're in trouble, this will be a tremendous bitter experience. "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I've gone with a multitude." Maybe we can remember the time when we came to the house of God with the other rest of the people. We went with a multitude, but we didn't thirst for God. We didn't wait upon God. We didn't pant after God as a hart panted after the water brooks. So the psalmist had a condition in his soul like that at times. I went with him to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. But now he come into a different place. Now I sought the Lord, and it was meaningful. It wasn't just a matter of going up to the house of God and singing the praises of God and perhaps listening to a sermon. And yet there was no thirst for God. Though much might have been said to encourage people that God would appear for them in prayer and providence, yet nevertheless, this thirsting for God is something quite different. I cannot do without the Lord God himself, even the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I pant for God. And this brought into the psalmist's experience, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." For the help of his countenance. One thing that I've mentioned many times, but is very important to us. Have we a hope? A hope that has an expectation. Notice the words, "I hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him." Now you know, not everybody has that kind of hope. There are many people, it would appear, that have a hope which is a very doubtful hope. It has no expectation in it. But blessed be God, I saw the Lord and he gave me a hope, and that hope was a hope of expectation. So I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And of course, this is repeated farther on in the same psalm. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance," here, and "my God." I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord with life in my soul. That life was communicated from God. So that my religion was a real religion. It was a living religion. And because it was a living religion, then I sought the Lord because it was a natural activity of my newborn soul to seek the Lord. You probably would be able to say, I did not always seek the Lord, but I seek the Lord now. And why do you seek the Lord now when you didn't before? Is it not because God has quickened your soul? Is it not because God has made himself a living reality? Or one that is able to perform? Remember what is written? In the book of Job, I think, where he says that he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Now, are there things in your life that you cannot perform yourself? The children of God will certainly have many things that they cannot perform themselves. And these things will be spiritual things. Amongst those spiritual things will be the desire to worship God day by day, to pray unto God. How often do we pray unto God? Just occasionally, just when we read a portion and pray after breakfast, or just before we go to bed at night? Or are we praying unto God all the day, under our breath? Yes, but God hears. And what a blessed thing it is that the throne of God's mercy stands open all day. And what's more, however poor and faint you are, yet God is able to give strength. And if your weakness is so great that you hardly have strength to utter a word, yet remember that the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Now desire does not need any expression to be given to it. God sees desires, and what is your desire this evening? Is it a desire which agrees with the words of our text, I sought the Lord, this is my desire? And if it is your desire, then be assured it is that which has been prompted by the Holy Spirit, and therefore you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Now, this second part, and they heard me, is a confirmation and an encouragement to the first clause, I saw the Lord. We have no assurance, so to speak, although we may have faith, but we have no assurance until God hears. And the Lord hears under most unexpected time, at most unexpected times, when we think that all is over, all is up with us. Has not God appeared sometimes and answered our petitions? Now we should remember this. I brought the Lord and he heard. I sought the Lord and he heard me. That God works in the soul of people, of sinners, of the election of grace, and brings them to those places where they cry out unto God Most High, unto God who is able to perform all things for me. It is a good thing when we come to the spot where we are in a difficulty, in a pathway, and we just cannot move, we just cannot proceed. We can only call upon God. Upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, and according to thy tender mercies. So I sought the Lord, and he heard me. God does not always, I think I've mentioned this, touched on this point before in the sermon, but he does not always hear us by speaking with his lips. There always has been in the conversation of the godly two ways of speaking. We can speak with our voice. We can also speak with our feet. Equally, God himself, he can speak with his voice, but he can also speak with the power of bringing the things to pass, deliverances communicated, without saying a word. And perhaps you are witnesses to that. I saw the Lord and he heard me. Looking through the scriptures, I'm sure we should find certain occasions in the life of God's people when God worked, when he did great things. How many times did God work in a most remarkable way? I sought the Lord. I think just for a moment about the case of Jehoshaphat, when he was confronted with the great armies of Moab and Ammon and another tribe, Mount Seir. And he didn't know what to do. He wasn't destitute of an army at all, but the numbers of people that were included in the three armies of these individual nations was tremendous. He says, what shall we do? We know not what to do. Our eyes are upon thee. Now I saw the Lord. Just a point here before I pass on. I saw the Lord. Are we looking all round? Or have we got our eyes fixed upon God? Well, certainly Jehoshaphat had his eyes fixed upon God when he prayed unto God, and he saw the Lord, how he would deliver. Then a prophet comes along and tells him that God would deliver him, and he wouldn't need to fight in that battle. I saw the Lord. And a great battle perhaps is before you, and does God say, you've no need to fight in this battle, for the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now when was it that the captivity was turned, and the nations involved began to destroy one another? It was when the priests began to praise the Lord. Now let us consider this point. I sought the Lord and he answered me by putting praise into my heart, by putting expectation into my soul, and I verily believe you have no need to fight in this battle, for the Lord shall fight for you. So then, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And undoubtedly, Jehoshaphat was able to bear testimony to this great and glorious interposition of God. Oh, who could have imagined that Jehoshaphat could spend his time praising the Lord about the victory which was being accomplished without any of his help or ability or any praise that could be taken by him as to the doing of it. Amazingly, I think it is the Israelites, or rather Judah, was 3 days in gathering up the spoil. The victory was so great. I sought the Lord and he heard me. Now God knows the application to your case. Now, and what it's all about. I do not expect for one moment it is like Jehoshaphat's case, but on the other hand, there could have a similar content. For example, there are three armies. Have we not three opposing us? We speak of a Trinity in unity, that is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But let us not forget that we also have to combat against the Trinity of Evil. That Trinity of Evil is referred to as the world, the flesh, and the devil. And what power have we over the world, the flesh, and the devil? And we can easily be attracted by worldly things. We can easily be attracted by a fleshly outburst of an ungracious desire. We can easily be troubled when Satan appears as a roaring lion on the one hand, or as an angel of light on the other. So I saw the Lord and he heard me. So have we then come before God? where there's a trinity of evil besetting us, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well then, what are we going to do? Well, God will listen to our prayers if you're crying out because of this great army that is with you and is about you. Now one of these will be a power, but when you've got three that join together to destroy your soul and take away your comfort, well, what shall we do? Oh, what shall we do? We will call upon God, who hath delivered, and who doth deliver, and whom we trust would yet deliver us. I saw the Lord, and he heard me. And this is the engage one person. The things that are written aforetime are written for our learning. And this is one of the things, the experience of God's people. You would never know the experience of God's people. You would never know the wonderful working of God's Spirit were it not written in the Scriptures. You might think that something wonderful had happened, or you were against great enemies, but how to deal with them and what they were all about, you would be ignorant of these things. But we have the Scriptures of truth, and the Scriptures of truth can describe the exercises of the quickened soul, the hopes and fears which alternate rise and comforts mingle with their sighs. So I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And therefore, there is this close communion between God and the soul. Now, it may be that some of you are debatable on this point. You seem to be so hardened in your heart and in your sins even that you wonder whether you will be a conqueror, and more than conqueror too. But be assured, let us look at the Scriptures and see what the trick with what the child of God under the power of the Spirit is really. Sometimes we may be under the power of our flesh. Sometimes we may be under the power of the world. Sometimes we may be under the power of Satan. I saw the Lord, whether it was because my enemy was one of these, or because it was the united combination of the three. I saw the Lord, and he heard me. Oh, it is a wonderful thing to realize that God is with his people. He is with them all the time. We may not always feel it. I feel forsaken and alone. But that doesn't alter the truth. That doesn't mean to say that God has forsaken you. What you feel is one thing, and what is the truth is quite another. So then, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Sometimes there are things that happen which bring fear into our hearts. And there are times when those things that we feared never came upon us. It was never in God's design. It was a promotion of our natural mind that induced fear into our hearts. And maybe the devil himself projected such an image of the power of our enemies that we were ready to sink. We were ready to sink. I remember, as it comes into my mind, an experience of the late Mr. Frank Goston. And he mentioned this in the sermon when he said, I was in great distress on one occasion. And he said, I left home and there were so many burdens, so many things in our experience as a family that at that time, as I said, as I left home, if there's one thing comes this day which is to weigh me down, that'll be the finish, and I shall sink. He said the day proceeded, and the thing came, and I did sink. but I sank in the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ. Now you see, sometimes Satan outwits himself by bringing us to fall into the arms of Jesus. Oh, they're safe arms, they're sure arms, they are delivering arms, and delivered me from all my fears, which would not be natural if we had not fears. Creatures of fear we drag along, and fear where no fear is. But if we have been in such a place, God is able to deliver us. And like that good servant of the Lord, he is able to make you sink, but not sink into death, not sink into hell, not sink into everlasting trouble, but sink into the one in the arms of one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, and delivered me from all my fears. Now just let us remember this point, that the word refers to one person, and it is only individuals that can speak to the honor and glory of God. Who delivered me from all my fears. Have we any fears now? Are we thinking about tomorrow? And we're very fearful about it. And why have we got fears? Well, it is because we are not listening to what the counsel of God is. Take no thought for tomorrow, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall put on. For the Lord is in control of tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Because we have to contend with our fallen nature, which will all the while try to put fear into our hearts, when if we could only leave things, leave tomorrow until it comes, and be satisfied even with looking back and thinking, well, God delivered yesterday, will he not deliver today, will he not deliver tomorrow? I don't know how he's going to do it. I cannot conceive that or perceive it, but surely he will not love me more than I'm able to bear, and he will do great and exceeding things. And let us remember also that there is a provision made in the word of God, exceeding great and precious promises. I do like to make the phrase complete. It is not if we say, yes, well, there's God's promises. Yes, you're on a rather low note there. But if you go a step further and say, yes, God's promises are great, then perhaps you're rising a bit higher, but you still haven't got where you should be. The word of God says exceeding great and precious promises. This word exceeding is mentioned in the scriptures on several occasions, and from different aspects too. We read of the exceeding sinfulness of sins, of sin. Now that is going to be tremendous, isn't it? It's going to sink you sometimes. Exceeding sinfulness. That is, you cannot get a grasp of it. It is so much, so powerful, that you feel that it will overcome you in the end. But let us consider what the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he spoke about God's exceeding ability, and he puts it in terms like this. And I thank God, Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. So then, have we come to the point where we've got exceeding sinfulness in our view? And do we think that there's nothing else that can supersede the exceeding sinfulness of sin? But there is. And we read it here. This, then the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Surely, the Apostle Paul would have come or could have shaken hands with these words in the 34th Psalm. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he told me. Has it been necessary for God to tell you what's written in the Scriptures? What the exceeding great and precious promises involve? In Peter's epistle, we have this word, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Isn't that a wonderful word? Do you think that God cares for you? Undoubtedly, the psalmist felt it, even in this, the sentence we have before us. I saw the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. And therefore, on this account, he was able to commit his way unto the Lord, casting all his care upon him, because he had this persuasion that the Lord cared for him. So then, how can we feel this evening? Do you think the Lord has cared for you? Undoubtedly, the psalmist was aware of this. I saw the Lord, and it was because the Lord cared for him, and he heard me, and it was because the Lord cared for him, and he delivered him out of all his distresses and fears. And why? It was because the Lord cared for him. Now, are we going to have this wonderful view of things this evening and say, yes, the Lord has cared for me, and I'm ashamed and filled with confusion of faith because sometimes I have not fully believed it. I seem to have been a stranger from this, but it hasn't made any difference. If my fearing and if my doubting, if my unbelief has cropped up and there has been a big question mark as to whether the Lord really cares for your soul or mine, yet it won't alter God's purpose and God's practice. He careth for me. Oh yes, it is good when we can worship God. He careth for me. And how different it is if you come into the words of our words of our text tonight. I sought him because I know he cares for me. Oh, you see, dear friends, if we are children of God, shall we not be acquainted with this great truth? If it is so, naturally, if a child becomes aware that mother and father care for him or her, as the case might be, do you think that God himself, who is your Father, your Redeemer, your Savior, and has communicated to you part of his divine nature, do you think that he will not care for you? If we have the example of the natural order, how much more so in the spiritual order? He careth for you. Now, what about our testimony this evening? Can we say that, yes, God has cared for me over the years? And we should bear this point in mind. But he cares for his people when they knew him not. He cares for his people when they were in unregeneracy. He cared for his people when they had no care for him. And it may be that some of you might be able to look back over the years when you knew not the Lord and could observe he cared for me there. And he cared for me in another place.